The scripture reading is from John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. How's your faith today? How's your doubt and fear? All gone, right? Come on now. What a blessing. So, as someone said today, people in Sutherland get you on the menu pretty quick. So a couple of weeks ago, you showed me your grace by being brave and letting me be up here. Today, you need to show me your mercy. So I like grace and mercy together. Before I start, if anybody left off a praise, I'd sure like them to give God some glory. So if you got something, just shout it out if you didn't have an opportunity. I'll cruise through this through New York style. Remember, I have everything that's on the PowerPoint I have in print. So if you want a copy of what you see today, just see me afterwards. I'd be glad to give it to you. And then we can challenge each other. Is that fair? All right. Amen. God is for the rain. And the rainbows that go with it. What was that? Amen. Luke. Victory over the FUDs, the fears, the uncertainty, and doubts. The Lord does not want us to have any of that, does he? None. None whatsoever. The sunset, you gave that discourse, Brother Luke, this morning was, it's always nice to be reminded to see, and you're right, we never get tired of looking at sunsets and sunrises, do we? God has the whole universe as his canvas, and boy, when we look in nature, for me, I communicate a lot better with God in nature than any place. I love nature, and if you get to know me, because I do a lot of wildlife photography and that kind of thing, so that's where I am with God. Anybody else before we start? For life. And that we're all vertical today, right? And we need to keep those prayers going. I want to encourage you, if you don't have a prayer list or a prayer journal at home, it's real simple to do, because we all the time, every week, have prayer requests, and we say, well, yeah, you know, I'm going to pray for your wife, Luke, you know. And I may pray today, and then tomorrow I get busy and goes on. But, you know, if you go home, I have a three-ring binder that has like over 4,000 requests in it. Because the Lord knows every hair in our head, right? And as we want to pray for people and be sincere about it, we can't remember all those names and requests all the time, but we can write them down with a little note. And then we can just lift that book up several times a day to the Lord, and he knows. And we just ask him to send his Holy Spirit upon it. And it's a beautiful blessing. And then the other nice blessing is from time to time, as you go and review through that prayer list, take a big red pen or whatever and write ANS, answered. And you'll be surprised over a year's time how you open up and you start seeing all these answered prayers. And it just reminds us that our God is faithful, as someone just said. Amen. So with that said and done, if there's no other praises, perfect merger. A lot of what the Lord has put on my heart is really just what Inspired Pen said, to we need to return to primitive godliness. We see in Christianity, not just in Adventism, but in Christianity in general, people have complicated the gospel so much and made it so confusing that you almost think if you're not a theologian, you can't have a relationship with Christ. Not true, right? Not true. So today is a review for some who may know this. Hopefully you'll find some new light within there. And so before I begin, I'd like to pray again if we could. Heavenly Father, we know that the words today, the message that you send with that scripture, is something Satan does not want us to understand in depth at all. He doesn't care if we hear it. He doesn't want us to understand it, Lord, because he knows that's where the power is. So there's going to be a spiritual battle here today, Father, and I just ask that all your heavenly hosts will hold back the evil angels from the sanctuary, that your word in its simplicity and depth will touch our hearts, open our ears and minds to receive what you have for us today. Show us how to apply it in our life and to give you glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So we're going to begin with the end in sight. Jesus, accomplished fact, already done. Remember, God works from the inside out, right? That's what God does to us. He touches our heart and then he starts developing us. So Paul tells us in Corinthians that we must die daily. By doing this act, we continue the sanctification process. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is what makes this possible. Amen? Someone can say amen to that. That's right. It's all of what Jesus already did. It's an accomplished fact. We're on the right side. That's good news. So we want to see some smiles and stuff today. Remember that saying, Wintley Phipps, last time, if you're happy in Jesus, notify your face. It's okay. We can do that. So the only way to reflect the image of Jesus is not by trying, but by dying. Trying to please God by our own efforts will never bring peace or joy or salvation. Our works never save us. We must daily die to self as Jesus did. Not my will, but thine. Philippians tells us, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So we can only be victorious and fit for heaven through the righteousness of Christ. We must be transformed. You agree? Jesus accepts us as we are when we come to him, but nowhere in the scripture does he say you have to stay there and I want you to stay there. He says, you come to me now, let me change you. Let me fit you for heaven, all right? I want you for eternity. We're here as an earthly family, this church family, right? One thing in churches, and it's all churches in general, you see people are scattered like today, and it's not a put down, but at our families at home, biological, I would assume that when we're together, we most of the time sit together. So maybe we can ask the Lord to do that for us. But we do need to be transformed. And so how are we going to be transformed, huh? Because Romans tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one of the key words here is transformed, a process, basic English. Transform means to change completely the appearance or character or someone especially in that they are improved. There's your butterfly, Joyce, or your thing. So you talked about your butterfly this morning. And it's not that true. When we come to Christ, when the Holy Spirit talks to our heart, and we say, I need something different in my life. And we come to the Lord and we get baptized. That's the beginning of our journey. It's sure not the end. And we are like that caterpillar. We're all over the place. We're not sure. Most people go, they don't like it. If they see it, they step on it. But when it's a finished product, what a beautiful thing it is, amen? And that's what the Lord sees in us. You know, there's that song that says, when others seen a shepherd boy, God saw a king. And that's for all of us. So to begin or take up again, transform, to restore or replenish, to reestablish. So the renewing of your mind. So how do we get this new mind? How do we get the mind? Right? By abiding in Christ. And how do we abide in Christ? In Christ in us. Over 44 times in the New Testament, it talks about in us, in me, in Christ, Christ in you. How important is that? What does that have to do with salvation? How do we do that? Is it a matter of works? Do I choose today like a diet? Well, I'm going on a diet and I'm going to stick to this one. You know, that might have been my 50th commitment to dieting. We're going to just see simply, we abide by the perfect merger. What's that? A merger is any combination of two or more business enterprises into a single enterprise. So the perfect merger is given to us in the parable of the true vine, which we won't read, but it's there for afterwards. But we're going to discuss it. This walk of sanctification, these are big words, so we're going to break these down so it's a simple gospel again. The walk of sanctification is a walk of faith and trust in God. Amen? We need to have faith and trust, not doubt and fear. It is not a walk of feelings, although at times they play a part. Faith is not feelings. It has nothing to do with it. This process produces the fruit of obedience through righteousness by faith. So if I want to be fit for heaven, and we know all this knowledge, and we hear these things over and over, I have to be more like Christ. I'm growing in Christ. If we have a ton of knowledge and we're only applying this much of it, what is that saying about where I am with God? If nothing else, that should show us we have a need to be talking to God more than we are talking. And we talk to him. How do we talk to God? Through what? Prayer. We're going to see in the Bible, no matter what we do, prayer and the infilling of the Holy Spirit come full circle. It doesn't matter. You're going to just, there's no way you're getting around it. There's only one way to be victorious, and that's for us to allow to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have Christ in us, so that his faith, his victory, becomes ours. That's where the power is, right? It's not me. If I'm walking on my own, I might do good for a while and say, well, I'm going to keep the commandments this week, and I have the whole wrong attitude. It's not about keeping the commandments. It's about showing our love to God by keeping them. It's just a fruit. When we see somebody we're attracted to, or we get married, or whatever the case may be, or even have a dog, when we grow and fall more and more in love, we look forward to pleasing them and doing it, don't we? We do it because we want to do it. We want to make them happy. We want to see them smile. That's what God wants for us. Philippians, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice that says, work out your own salvation. Not my salvation, not Eileen's, and not Larry's, and not work out your own salvation. So if we're going to be critics, we need to look in the mirror and criticize ourselves constructively, hopefully. So although the grafting process is the same for everyone, as that parable talks about, not all grafts blend and merge at the same speed. Do you agree? But they all will graft in its time. So now we're going to see the process of how we can allow Christ in us in fullness, how we have victory every day if we just do a couple simple things and commit to the Lord and give him our will. Grafting, that's the tree, that's Christ, must be wounded, which was the cross, in order to receive the graft. So we're starting to see we got the vine, the tree, and we got a branch that needs to come together. The wound was done at Calvary, right? Now the branch, which is us, must be shaped to fit into the wound. When the branch is cut off from its former life, that's our old man, it's not left to die. So when I come to Jesus Christ, when we witness in this community, and as people come into the Sutherland SDA Church, the old man is going to have to die. And that's a battle. Isn't it? We battle now, even as people have been in the church a lot. Self is always a battle. But when he's cut off from his former life, he's not left to die. Jesus just doesn't leave him hanging there. Amen? God carefully and lovingly puts the branch, that's us, in the wounded tree, into Christ. Then the joint is covered with grafting wax, which represents Jesus' robe of wax, righteousness. So we got a tree. We see the branch being in here. We're going to put some wax on it. And we're going to see that wherever Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is, and God is. You can't separate the three. Even if we don't understand it at times, you can take it to the bank that where one is, all three are. The wax, that's Jesus' righteousness, is intended to keep out any infection that hinders the growth process. Now that we can say, amen, that's justification. That's saying what Jesus has already accomplished, I am pardoned, but he's going to keep that infection out because he wants me to grow. If our tree gets infected and diseased, we're going to have big problems, aren't we? We may be able to save it, but most times we don't save it. We lose it. That's no different to a person comes into the church and they're a new Christian. They need the church support. It's not this, do all you can to get them into the baptismal waters and then I'll see you next Sabbath and then we drift off. We have to stay with them. They need us. So now the husband, and that's God, he started all this, takes strong tape, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, and wraps it around the branch and the tree stalk. So now you visualize, here we got a branch merging into the tree. We see it being protected, and we see it wrapped with Jesus' robe of righteousness. So when God looks at you and me, why we're being fit for heaven, he still sees Jesus in us. Amen? But Jesus has to be in us. We have to let him do that. That's our choice. So the branch must become one with the tree to survive. Do you agree? It has to become one. So all of this says the cross. Now y'all, we're going to give you these breaks again because we got a couple of songs. I hope you don't mind singing. And you can stand up if you like, or you can stay seated. Whatever turns you on is fine. Just lift your voice up to the Lord, though, and give him glory. So the branch must become one with the tree to survive. And so we'll sing a song, and then we're going to see where that will take us. Near the cross. As we see, everything comes in scriptures, comes to the cross, doesn't it? Everything is about the cross. It's before, during, and after. A lot of times we talk about the cross only, which is a great thing to talk about. But what Jesus accomplished after the cross is powerful too. Jesus, keep me near the cross, precious fountain. Everybody sing, I don't do solos.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. Amen. So now we continue with the purpose of the branch, which is us, is to produce good fruit. So how do we produce good fruit? How do we do this merger that the Bible talks about? How do we stay in Christ? How do we get in Christ? How do we allow Christ into us? So simple. In order to get the best fruit possible, this is the part we kind of quince at. We don't like this part. The husband, God, will have to do some pruning, right? I'm just learning about prunings. I asked Denny a question last Sunday about that. I'm learning. I realize how hard work it is, too. Especially when you got trees like 15 years old. But you could imagine if a tree could make a sound every time we cut one of them branches off, we'd probably do a little screaming, right? So So God's going to have to do some pruning with us. So here I am, a worldling. The Holy Spirit works on my heart. It draws me to Jesus Christ. I come to the church. I get baptized. I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 2, it continues to say, then they continue daily with them in doctrine and teaching. They were adding to the church daily. So we have to be pruned. So now I'm this new Christian. Maybe I get a break for a week or two. Maybe the Lord jumps on me right away to show me some things I got to do quickly. But when grafted, the branch has a natural tendency to droop towards the ground. Is that not true? It's hard, especially when you're a new Christian. You come in, we see the beautiful truth that we have. But many people, the family is not bought into it. One member of the family may become and see the truth of that, and they have a lot of challenges. We as a church family need to embody them and to help them through those things, not just say, I'll pray for you. But they want to backslide, and God knows this, so God has a plan for that. That's in this parable. So God needs to prevent this, otherwise the branch will send rootlets and try to take nourishment from two sources, God and the world. And this is walking the fence. That's kind of Laodicea, isn't it? An inspired pen says that Laodicea is worse than an infidel, so that shows you what God thinks about us who choose to stay in Laodicea. So here's the problem. We cannot serve two masters, right? When getting pruned, the husbandman, which is God, is getting rid of every inherited and cultivated tendency that can destroy the branch. This is the sanctification process. So God does everything from love. Do you agree? Every motive God has is for love. When he is exposing to us character flaws and says, Mike, you can't keep this. You want to be with me for eternity. We don't need, nor will we have, another rebellion in heaven. It's that simple. Sin will not go back to heaven. Do you agree? It cannot go back to heaven. That means we have to be victorious. And if we don't grasp the idea and understand what it means to have Christ in us, be infilled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be deceived. And we think we're doing good, but we're going to be deceived. Sin cannot go back to heaven. That means Mike Mallinson has to have a heart after God. I have to want to be right with God. That doesn't mean everything I'm doing is perfect right now. But with Christ in me, I'm on that road, and I will be fixed. And if I die today, I have the blessed assurance, if my heart is right with God, that I'm going to see him on the first resurrection. Amen? It's not complicated. But it can be difficult to give up self, because I'm sure God talks to all of us in things that we may be doing that we know we shouldn't be doing, but we keep doing it and saying, well, I'll get there, Lord. So the branch is to abide and let the husband. So we have to allow God to do his work. This is accomplished through the Holy Spirit in Christ. Without it, it is not going to happen. We'll be out of the church so fast and probably be more negative to God than we were before we came and accepted God. We have to allow him to be in us. We need his victory inside of us. So only by abiding, being grafted in Christ, can we walk in perfection. For that perfection is his, not ours. Amen? So here's our part. We must give our will to God in faith. Faith, remember, no doubts or fears. Faith. It's knowing. As the husbandman God does the grafting, we are to be careful not to complain how he works. And I've had to repent a lot with Eric, because I do grumble and complain with stuff. And the good news is you do it less and less if you keep going. But it's that natural, that's that carnal in us. It's natural. You know, who doesn't want it easy and nice, and who doesn't like a plate full of food all the time, you know? It's just a natural reaction. But nothing can happen in our lives that God does not allow to happen, right? This is where faith and trust must take hold. We need to trust in God. We need to trust in Jesus. We need to trust in the Holy Spirit. Amen? So now you can stand up or sit down. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Is that true? Okay, I want to hear a choir now. We want, you know, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir has 240 members, but I'll bet you 75 people in Sutherland can out-sing them. Because when you got the joy of the Lord in your heart, boy, I'll tell you, it's going to reach the clouds. So, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Again, if you feel like you need to stretch or your back is bothering you, feel free to stand. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know that saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to see, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen. Tabernacle Choir had competition today. So who's eligible to receive this grace of God? Who's eligible to have Christ come in them? In Romans 5, if you read that chapter, it says the helpless, see if you're any of these, ungodly, sinners, all men, enemies of God, those who are condemned, everyone who chooses it, right? So, if you are any of these, we qualify for God's grace, amen? And that's eternal grace. That's not just like here. That's forever. That's good news. So remember, you cannot earn God's grace. It's a gift. It's really simple. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah. It's all right. It just means praise the Lord, right? A quote, while justification takes care of all the legal work, which is good news, isn't it? Imagine if we had to try to justify ourselves, and boy, what a list we'd have. But justification takes care of all the legal work, thanks to Jesus. Sanctification, that's the impartation of the life of Christ, is the process by which our fitness for heaven is determined. So justification without sanctification, pardon without help getting right, has no continuing saving value. Sanctification without justification is impossible. Is it not true? Because if it's not, that means I have to be a person of works, and I'm trying to justify myself by what I'm doing. And that's not going to work too well. Quote, the connection of the branch with the vine, he said, represents the relation you are to sustain to me. the scion, the branch is engrafted into a living vine, and fiber by fiber, vein by vein, it grows into the vine stock. And the life of the vine becomes the life of the branch. So can you imagine that now? Here we are with the tree. Here I am, the branch. I come in. I'm grafted in. I'm wrapped around. I'm forgiven. I'm put in there with love. I'm a new Christian. I just accepted Christ. I just took all of that parable into my heart. Now I have a problem. There's people who have critical spirits. And somebody new comes in there, people are already looking to find fault or whatever the reason is. Not a good plan, right? Now, that person, as it says, that process is beginning. So the day that happens, how many apples do you see on the tree? But do we know that the process is beginning to produce apples, right? We know that all the life that God is sending up through that tree and into that branch is giving life to it. It's now, for lack of words, it's melting and fusing the branch and the vine. That means it's taken me and Jesus together. I am now one with Christ as long as I choose to stay one with Christ. Is that simple, I hope? So to be a healthy branch, we must continue to abide in Christ through Bible study, prayer, and service. And I'll submit to you today, you can challenge me if you think it's wrong, 2 out of 3 is not good enough to get right with God. We can have Bible study, and we can do a lot of good things for the Lord. If we're not doing it in prayer, we're not going to see a lot of fruit because we're walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit. If I just pray, as it says in the statement, then I will cease to pray. Prayer alone does not work, but prayer is needed. We need to do everything in prayer. But we need all three of these. We need to be into God's Word. How else will you not know the truth? We're deceived. How do we know the difference between faith and presumption? We're to be confident when we come. It says, come boldly, come confidently to God, to that throne of grace with our request. His promises are sure. So if we go there confidently and thank the Lord ahead of time, but others would say, you're being pretty presumptuous. You're telling God what to do. How do we know the difference? If we're not into the Word of God, we're not going to know the truth. Amen? We need to be in there. So Romans says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, therefore by that reason, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We don't like to do that either a lot of times. Holy, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So many had great light will fail to walk in the light because they have not become one with Christ. It is really simple. Why do I study the Word of God? I mean, we have to examine ourselves. It tells us that in Ephesians. It says to examine ourselves. When I study to learn more about God, and I want to have a deeper relationship with God, and I want my love to grow with God, is the purpose for me to study and learn that and to hoard it or to share it with people? Because the Scripture says we're to do all for the glory of God, right? So when we get a deeper understanding of a present truth, when the Lord reveals more to us, we should be saying, praise the Lord, how do I apply that in my life and how do I share that love with somebody else? It's not to be a theologian and have a bunch of knowledge so we can sit together and just throw scriptures back and forth, right? Right? Okay. I was just checking. We have a lot of great light. God's love, peace, and grace are only one decision, one prayer away. Psalms tells us, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly, which is foolishness, silliness. And this can only be accomplished again in us by allowing the Holy Spirit in. Do you agree with that statement? You believe that our victory has to come from Christ and that comes through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? I mean, we have to be on the same page if we believe that that's what the Bible teaches over and over again. So if we believe that and understand it, and that can only happen by asking for it in earnest prayer continually, we can see the importance of prayer in our lives, in our ministries. We need to have that. And we have to grow and give up more of the world. We do things that we know. Let's just ask ourselves a question. Anything that I do, I'm as guilty. I'm talking about myself. Could I invite Jesus to this event or to this movie or to whatever it is I'm doing? And if the answer is no, then pretty logical, it says, so why am I doing it? My answer is because I know I'm carnal. That means I need a lot more of God's grace, and so I need to be praying for the Lord to change the desire of my heart. Just like David did. That's good news, right? God will change our hearts if we allow him to do that. Read Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. So in closing, you can say amen to that too. Let this mind be in you. What mind are we talking about? Philippians, the mind of Christ. What was the mind of Christ? What was the mind of Christ? Love, kindness, service, humility. So we see a lot of characteristics, right? And on that prayer, on that Getting Right weekend coming up in February, we're going to see 21 attributes of the Holy Spirit. How many people know there's 21 characteristics of the Holy Spirit in the Bible to show and prove that he is a person, not some entity floating around in space or some just windy power? He's a real person. The Bible says he's the third person of Godhead, right? And when you see what the Holy Spirit will do to you and me, it's just... it's astonishing. I'm going to ask you then, which one do you want left out? None. So God is good, so let Jesus' mind be in us. And it's in us through what? The Holy Spirit, allowing him to come in, learning of Jesus, studying his life. So we have to choose this day. Who are we going to serve? So the final thought, I always have a burden. Just my walk has probably been different than most of yours coming into to the truth. I was raised a very strict Catholic, went through 20 religions, literally. I was in the Mormon church for a year, Jehovah's Witness, Church of Christ, looked at witchcraft down in Louisiana, sat in Baha'i firesides, gave up on God for 10 years. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. And when you come to the truth and you see the truth, well, I tell you, it is a joy. It's a big monkey gets off your back when you look and you say, you know what? I've been pretending all these years because I need to be cool and I need to be successful and I got to worry about what this person said. And that all disappears. And that's good news. The sad part is, and again, maybe Sutherland is different, but in a lot of churches, us as a church family do not support people like we need to support them, these new people that come in especially. We are a family. Romans 12 tells us we weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, right? Luke's family going through tribulation, other families here, we can weep with them. That's okay. Jesus wept, amen? But we also can rejoice because we know how the book ends. That's good news. So we do our closing hymn. I don't know if I have that up here or not, do I? What am I bulletin? I forgot. What was our closing hymn? What was it? 163, that's right, at the cross. Please stand with me if you would. Let's lift our voices to God and give him some glory.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for someone such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. was it for crimes that I have done, he suffered on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Before the closing prayer, if anyone here feels they don't have the right relationship with Christ or has never accepted Christ, I sure would encourage you to do that today. And if you're struggling with something, see one of the elders, and they'd be glad to pray with you. I mentioned in a meeting Friday here for my wife and I, one of the big excitements of being here is that you have leaders that actually pray. Now that sounds funny, but there's a lot of churches, leaders do not pray. It's amazing. Does that mean that we're all good? That doesn't mean we don't need more prayer and to get better at it. But it's a blessing. And that means if we're willing to do our part, this church will be overloaded in a year from now. I promise you that. Because God wishes for how many to perish? And how many you think are perishing in Sutherland right now in this area? I bet there's a lot. Right? Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you so much. What a loving God you are, full of grace, full of mercy. And Father, we ask forgiveness where we failed you. And we fail you so often, yet every time your promise is sure that we confess our sin, you forgive us. Lord, like David cried in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Father, help us all to die more to this world, to lose our taste for the things that occupy our time, even if they're not bad things, Lord, but they don't keep our mind on you. And help us to be the servants that you asked us to be. As we learn more about your love, your peace, and your joy, show us how we can use that in ministry to share it with others. Whether it's just telling them, just smiling at them, whatever it is, Lord, just impress our hearts. And thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for this divine appointment here in Sutherland. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Because only you deserve it, Father. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And thank you. Remember, I have copies if anybody wants it.